You are listening to the Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy and balance and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Hopefully you guys are ready to get happy, and to get you guys happy, I think we are going to bring in Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How are you?
I am great, and I've been so looking forward to getting this show with you. We've been working on this for months, so I'm glad that we finally have the first show going, and hopefully you guys out there are ready to hear some really great stories. Maggie, you've got one from, what are you calling it now, Sunnyside?
Sunny Stories?
The Sunny Stories.
The first section, yep. Mm-hmm.
So what do you got for us?
Well, this is a story in honor of Memorial Day. There was a gentleman, some of you may have heard of the story on YouTube. He was in the hospital very, very ill for 3 months, and his dogs were taken from him. And the gentleman didn't have any money, and he loved his dogs. His dogs were his whole life. The dog's belly and blaze were placed, it's my understanding they were placed in like a PetSmart as part of an adoption process. And someone got wind of the story and how this gentleman had lost his dogs and how he was an armed forces veteran. And she actually did some fundraising and came up with money to be able to adopt the dogs for him in his name. They gave him some donations. PetSmart was very, 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 very sweet, and gave him, you know, gift certificates for bones and cards and, you know, gift cards for things that he did for the dogs and food. They gave him new leashes and collars. And the premise behind the story was that the gentleman showed up at PetSmart. He had been making small payments to get the dogs back, but it really wasn't a lot, and it would take months for him to be able to repay, if at all. So when he showed up to make a payment, they surprised him and let him know that the dogs were his. The bills were paid for, the adoption fees paid. As I said, he received a whole bunch of donations. I just thought that it was a really touching story, especially with Memorial Day just having passed. So many of our servicemen, you know, struggle after they come home. And, you know, this gentleman was sick. He was in a hospital. His whole life was his dogs. And it just really restored my faith in humanity that someone was able to do something like this for one of our veterans. I thought it was really sweet.
That was
the first story I had to share. You're going to put all these links up on your webpage, right?
Yes. Yes. On the archive of the show, you guys will be able to find all of the articles that we're talking about and get the information from it. You know, that's an amazing story. I love the fact that somebody actually stepped in and helped out a vet. That's one of the things that we see really needing to be done. And hopefully people will take the cue and do that more.
That was my goal as well. I mean, I'd like to see more of that happening. And forgive us, people. This is our first show. We're going on the fly. This is live. So there are going to be some bumps in the road here first time out. But we do have a series of segments that we'll bring to you each week, each with a little bit different theme. The second one that we have is positive phenomenon. This segment typically will be like about miracle cures, otherworldly feats of nature, really cool stories that people have experienced with, you know, people who are sick, people who are dying, coming back from the dead, things like that. This story that I have this week for you is about Matthew and Danielle Davis. They were married for only 3 months, and Matthew, he was in a serious, very serious motorcycle accident, in which he ended up into a coma. And after several weeks, the doctors really were putting the pressure on the wife, Danielle, for her to pull the plug on her husband. And the doctor actually drew a graph on the board and said, you know, 90% of the people with this injury never regain consciousness. And finally, the doctor told her, you know, if this were me, I'd want my family to pull the plug. Well, you know, she wasn't down with that. She was married with her husband only 3 months. She was in love with the man. She had faith that somehow, some way, something would happen. She wasn't going to give up hope on him. So she ended up bringing her husband's lifeless body home. And she kept him there. She kept him there for 3 months. And then by some small miracle, the man actually, her husband, Matthew, woke up out of the coma. He had lost all of his memory. He didn't know who his wife was. He couldn't walk. He couldn't hardly talk. But she kept, you know, the faith that this woman had and the amazing strength that she had to be able to, first of all, withstand that kind of trauma in such an early marriage. And then to be able to take him home, care for him as a nurse would, full care for 3 months. And then the fact that he woke up, to me, is just a miracle. I couldn't even imagine, you know, and it really touched my heart. But 4 years later, he actually can walk, he can talk, he can ride a bike now, he can do push-ups. And, you know, she takes her vows very seriously, which is very, very nice to see in today's society. You know, she took that vow in sickness and in health, and she followed through with that. She meant every single word of that. And her husband, of course, is grateful for that fact that she didn't pull the plug on him, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, but, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, that just to me, it was another story that really touched my heart. I thought it was an amazing show of, you know, faith and, you know, just love, you know, especially in a newly married couple, having something that tragic happen to you. I thought that was a really cool one.
We don't see that kind of thing too often anymore. And again, that's something that I think that more people really should express. My wife, for instance, Jolene, she has said many times that if something were to ever happen to me, she'd be right there at my side all the way. We were watching a TV show one time. It was a comedy show. It was Scrubs. But there was one scene in it where an older couple came in and the man was in a coma. And at one point in time, she kind of wiped at the man's eyes and said, you know, he had a little bit of crusties in the corner of his eye there. And Jolene turned around and she looked at me and she said, you know, if anything ever happens to you like that, I would be right there wiping the crusties out of your eyes. And I told her, well, you know, with my vision, I will have many crusties in my eyes. So, you know, I know that I'm lucky with the fact that I'm assured that I'm with somebody that would be that way, you know, and that's love, you know, to be able to stand right there at the side of the person, even when there's the risk that they won't be there back, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just a very touching story. And you don't see that every day. So I thought that was a really great story to share.
Really, it is.
The next one that I had, Furry Heroes. Every time we're going to do one on animals. And this one is about a little girl named Sadie. She was a 4-year-old girl. She was diagnosed with Down syndrome and also type 1 diabetes. She had a dog that was trained for her. The dog's name was Hero. And actually, the dog can smell when her blood sugar is low. And so the dog and she had obviously maintained a very close relationship. And one day, the little girl went to school, and the dog started going crazy in the house. And the mom couldn't figure out why. So just on a gut instinct, the mother actually called the school. And, you know, the teachers checked on the child. The child seemed to be okay. Well, in 30 minutes, her blood sugar dropped. And so because of the fact that the dog, now this dog is 5 miles away. There's a 4-year-old child in an elementary school. And the dog from 5 miles away has the ability to sense that the child's blood sugar is dropping and alerts the mom, who calls the school, who calls the teacher, and the teacher keeps an eye on the child. And like I said, within 30 minutes, her sugar levels drop. Now, the article doesn't specify, but we both kind of make the assumption that at that point, you know, she received insulin or, you know, a shot, something to bring her levels back up to where she needed to be. But the fact remains that had it not been for that animal alerting the mom from 5 miles away, I just think that's so cool. And, and, you know, saving the child. I just think that's the coolest thing ever, you know, and, I want that dog actually.
Oh, absolutely. That dog has a better name, could not have had a better name. That's for sure. The dog's name was Hero. Yeah. with that story, you know, one of the things that comes to my mind is, I think that, yes, there's a lot to be said for the dog's noses and their senses, but I think the dogs especially, they can really sense energy as well. And I think that's probably what that dog was doing, was it was sensing the coming energy of what was going on. It's like, I know there are a lot of people that have like seizure disorders and that kind of thing, and they'll have a dog that specializes in knowing whether or not a seizure is forthcoming in that child or that person, and can usually tell even an hour or two ahead of time. And our body is not showing those signs that it's going to be happening. You know, it's not showing the indications that something is on its way. It's just that dog knows absolutely without a doubt that something is on its way and gives the warnings. That to me is pretty amazing. I think that, you know, I know this story came from, what was it? What was the news site called?
Little Things, maybe, or I think it was Little Things. I think it was
God's Small Things or something like that. Yeah. The thing that I get cued with this is that certain animals, especially dogs, they really are, I think, really a gift from God, you know, a gift from Creator to assist us in big ways. I had a cat. Now, I'm not trying to segue too much here, but this kind of reminds me of how these animals have such amazing abilities that we don't really give them more credit for. But I had a cat that ended up basically becoming mine through no choice. I moved into a house, and this house was once owned by the son of the person that lived next door to where I moved in. And so I went to work one day, and I came back home, and sitting on the porch was this gray cat, and insisted on going inside. Well, I love cats, so I didn't have a problem with it. And so I was talking to the neighbor at one point in time, and I was like, you know, this cat just kind of showed up out of nowhere. And I described the cat, and she saw it, and she said, that was my son's cat. What had happened was when he moved out, he took the cat 45 miles away to a farm and dropped it off because the place that he moved into couldn't have cats. So he dropped it off at this farm, thinking that she was going to be, you know, a happy cat at this farm. However, the cat wasn't happy about it and came back home.
Wow, that's amazing.
Declawed
that's
and everything amazing. And made her way there. It took her about a month and a half to get there, but she finally made it. And she was clean. She was well fed. She had no problems. So she definitely became mine. I was like, there's no way I can turn her away. This is her house, you know? So
that's really cool.
It's amazing how animals can do that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Now, the thing that I thought was really cool about this story, too, is Hero was obtained from a lady named Casey Owens, who's also a diabetic, and she trains and raises these puppies to be diabetic alert. She's in Utah. And so, you know, once you post the story there, maybe, you know, there are some people out there that are diabetic that could get a hold of her and possibly get a trained puppy for themselves or their family members. I thought that was really neat, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, it was just so cool. I had to share that story with you. The next one that I had was this one here. This segment I'd like to call Seeds of Hope. Now, this here is about other people being kind to people, random acts of kindness. Things like that, things that you don't normally see on an everyday basis. There was a boy, he's 17 years old. His name was Patrick Sullivan. He unfortunately died in a car crash on New Year's Day. I mean, I can't imagine his family going through that on New Year's Day and on a holiday especially. He was from Rockland, Massachusetts. His friends at the wake, there were about 22 of them, got together to pay their last respects, and they ended up going to like a local restaurant for something to eat. And, you know, I can just see them, you know, being empathic, you know, sitting around the table and reliving memories and being sad. And eventually they went to pick up the check, and it was a $400 bill. And one of the Rockland police officers had actually paid the bill for them and didn't leave his name.
Oh,
they
wow.
found out later. Isn't that cool? They found out later that his name was Sergeant Greg Pigeon, and he didn't want any recognition. He just did it to do it, to help ease the pain of the children who had lost their friend. Apparently, he had gone to the same high school as Patrick when he was a teenager and was so affected by his death that, you know, he wanted to do something for the loved ones that were suffering. I just thought that was really, really amazing.
I've run across stories like that too, of where people will just kind of randomly pay a bill. There was one that I was really touched by, having gone through the experience of being a single parent for quite a while. There was a story of a young woman who had two children, very young. I think one of them was 3 and one of them was just a few months old. But she had gone to a restaurant and was talking to the waitress. The waitress said, you know, those are beautiful kids, you know. And she said, oh, thank you. I just, you know, my husband just left and kind of left me with these kids. And, you know, just talking about the difficulties that she was having a little bit. And when she got her meal, she mentioned to the waitress that this was the first time in about 6 months that she had actually been able to leave the house because she had just been stuck with the kids for so long. And so when she got her meal and went to go up to pay it, the person that had been sitting at the table next to her paid the bill and tipped the waitress for being kind enough to stand and talk with her for a few minutes to give the woman a chance to, you know, just get her heart out, and left a note saying that she had gone through the same experience herself. And knowing what she had gone through, she wanted to give a good, happy evening for this young woman. And so her bill was completely paid. And I think that's awesome when people go out of their way to be kind to other people, especially considering that that's the way that we all should be anyways, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the last story that I have before we get into some really cool stuff is Hope in Bloom. Now, this one here really touched me. The name of this segment, by the way, would be Those Crazy Kids. So every week, or every month rather, what we'll do is a story about children, you know, things that children have done for others, children who have saved other lives, things like that. Really cool things that children have been able to bring into the world, ways that they've been able to participate in raising vibrations and spreading love and being kind to their fellow humans. This one here, Mike and Kara Schlesman, both were diagnosed with breast cancer. She had completed her treatment. Mike's cancer right now is in stage 4. You know, men aren't usually checked for breast cancer. That's not something that you typically would think of when you're looking, you know, when you go to the doctor as a man for an illness. Because of that fact, his diagnosis was caught very, very late. And so he is in stage 4. The article did say that he'll probably be in treatment for the rest of his life. And the couple is having, of course, as you can imagine, amazingly difficult time. But they looked out their window one day and they saw a bunch of teenagers out in their yard. And there's actually a group that exists called Hope in Bloom. And what this organization is a bunch of children, teenagers, who get together. And when there's someone that they find out that's been diagnosed with cancer, they actually come to their home and put in a garden for them, totally free of charge. So, and the children, the students, raise the money for the garden through their photography club by creating these note cards and selling them. And this is their fifth story. This is the fifth time that they've been able to help a couple or a family with cancer. And I just thought that that was extremely, especially in today's society, you know, in the age of children who are so, what's the word I want? Selfish, you know what I mean? I thought it was a very, very cool story that children, you know, are getting together and raising money and then going ahead to help people who can't help themselves by they're planting vegetables so that this family will have food to eat, and they're giving them something to do, you know, because I'm sure with as sick as they are, probably at least the husband isn't able to work. So it's giving him something to look forward to be able to garden and look at his vegetables. I just thought overall it was an amazing story.
So kids can do something besides play video games.
Yeah, I'm thinking so. So I thought that was really, really cool too, because, you know, I mean, it was a cool story about children. And I had a lot of them, by the way. I had a hard time picking one that, but, you know, we're going to do this once a month. So I've got 12 months to come up with them. But believe it or not, there are actually a lot of stories on the web about children helping people. And that really restored my faith in humanity too, because you hear so many negative things about children as a general rule, you know?
Well, I know a lot of people refer to this generation as being useless and all that kind of stuff. And for me, it's like, I look around at like my kids, for instance, and they definitely are not that way. You know, it's there are, I think a lot of stories that are out there to put a negative spin on things when in actuality, it's not really that way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So those are the stories that I had to share with you for, you know, positive stories, stories that are uplifting. Please, if you're on the page, you know, go ahead. If you have a story you'd like to tell, because we're limited to once a month and only an hour, we're not going to be taking calls or anything like that. But feel free to look at the articles that Ira will post on the webpage. And, you know, if you have anything that you'd like to share, you know, put it right on there so that we can hear about your stories as well. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about spreading the positivity and spreading happiness and joy and just, you know, love and just really cool stories.
Absolutely. And if you guys want to go to the openeyesnetwork.com website, we have a contact us form that's there. You guys can just click on contact us. It's up the top of the page. Click that and you guys can get into the form right there. Just put in your message and we'll get it right away. So that's another method. If you don't want to go send an email or anything like that, just go right there.
Awesome. So now I guess we're going to go into the cheerful comedy corner, Ira.
Indeed. We will hit a break here real quick. And when we come back, let's see. We've got all kinds of great stories for you guys, don't we?
We certainly do. We have a whole bunch of stuff coming up, really cool things. We're going to call our break. Do you know what we're going to call our break?
No, I have no idea, actually.
We're going to call this break dancing and jamming music while we go pee.
That so works for me.
I'm going to play some really cool music for you. We're going to take just a really short break, and then we'll jump right into the rest of the story so we can get all through them in the last segment of the show. And go ahead, Ira, play your music, buddy.
Indeed. You guys are listening to the Positude Podcast, and hopefully you guys are enjoying the show tonight as much as we are. And we'll be right back with you.
Is visiting time nearly over then?
No, not long to go for you. You should be dead by the morning.
Am I dying?
Yep, the doctors reckon you've got no chance. Look at your chart. Downhill all the way. Stick a couple of flagpoles on that, you could bung it out on Ski Sandy.
No, I don't want to die.
Well, you're in a minority of one there. I put a bet on at 5-1 at Ladbrokes 2 days ago that you'd be gone. I've lost 50 quid. You're so bloody selfish. I put a notice in yesterday's paper. Alf Gitt, gone to hell. Good riddance. And you're still here.
I'm not going to hell, am I?
Of course you are. You reckon you've got trouble with your down belows at the moment? You wait till tomorrow. There's a little hairy devil with a red hot poker up there.
No!
Yes! You reckon they're going to let you off for bricking up that cat behind our fireplace?
Well...
Or directing that poor lady in front of that lorry?
She should have looked.
You knew perfectly well she was blind.
That was only a joke.
Oh, I suppose it was a joke when you electrocuted that baby, was it?
That was your idea.
Yeah. But you did it.
No. I'm sorry for my sins. I don't want to die.
Too late. The Grim Reaper's on his way. Alf. Alf. Nurse. Help, please. My friend's dying.
Three Dog Night, man. That was a number one song in 1971 for 6 weeks in a row, written by Hoyt Axton. I love that song, man. I used to spend a lot of time singing that song in choir. We are back, and Maggie, hello.
Hello.
That's so awesome, man. I love that song.
Isn't that great? So we have another section of the comedy.
We do indeed. We do indeed. Let me cue it up here. Ha-ha.
Like I said, folks, this is live. It's our first show, and we're just kind of having fun with this. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. Once we get the format down here once a month, it'll be a lot better. But we're just having a blast, Ira and I. It's so great working with you again, Ira.
Absolutely. I love it. And again, I've been so looking forward to doing this show. I need a little bit more positivity, that's for sure.
Yep. And I need to drink less iced coffee, so maybe I don't have to take as many pee breaks. But I love getting I love getting to be able to play like a really cool song halfway through, you know, upbeat, positive.
Yep, absolutely. Me too. I miss doing it. So we have a little something for you guys to hear here. Let's see what people think about this one, shall we?
In honor of Memorial Day.
Indeed.
Hello.
Yes, I'm calling about the Civil War memorabilia that you had advertised.
Yes.
Yes, can you tell me what it consists of?
Well, we have guns, several guns.
Uh-huh. Do you have any Confederate weapons, or what type of weapons do you have?
Well, I don't know if you consider a Confederate weapon, but he's got a Deuce 5. At least he told me it's called a Deuce 5. And we have some of the old guns there that with the powder blows off on your hand and it explodes.
Right. Do you know what guns they are?
Yes, they're old cavalry guns.
Cavalry guns.
Yes, and he's also in the garage. He's got a Gatling gun.
Got a Gatling gun.
Yes, he's looking to get rid of it because the police are always around because, you know, they say it's unlawful for him to blow the Gatling gun off in the back of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And he fires it into the woods and he takes down a lot of the forest out there. Yeah, so we're having a bit of a problem.
What is the Gatling gun date from? Does he have a date on it?
Oh, I would say it's back in the 1870s or something.
1870s.
Oh, boy, when that goes off. Bra, 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 bra.
I can imagine.
Oh, my word. Hello?
Hello, we got disconnected.
Yes, why are you hanging up on me, sir?
I didn't. We got disconnected.
Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
I didn't get disconnected. No, I didn't hang up.
I'm sorry, I said.
And do you have other things, too?
Well, yes, he's got an old foot. A foot, a dried foot.
A dried foot?
Yes. And it's Civil War memorabilia. It was in a boot.
I'm sorry, what do you mean a foot?
It's an actual foot from a soldier that was given to him in the 60s, the 1960s.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's unusual. There were...
Pardon me?
I said, I've never even heard of something like that.
Yes.
And what other things do you have?
Well, he's got cannons. One of them's not really put together, and one of them's a beautiful. It's a big... On the 4th of July, he blows that off.
That's an original Civil War cannon?
Loud.
That's an original Civil War cannon?
Oh, it's a big one. When he blows that off, all the windows in the neighborhood shake. That's why we're in so much trouble.
I can imagine.
Yes.
That's an original Civil War cannon?
And he's got suits. He's got those silly suits from the North and the South, you know.
I'd be interested in coming up and purchasing it.
Well, you can have whatever you like, because I told you he's already in enough trouble with the police. One day I feared he was going to turn the Gatling gun on them.
No.
Yes, he's crazy. He's a fool. He's a wartime hero fool.
Okay.
You got to be very, very careful with those guns. They make me very scary.
I know. I have some, and I don't fire them.
One time he nearly blew both of his arms and his face off with that damn thing.
No.
Yes, because he put too much of the split shot or something. I don't know. He blew the muscle right off the freaking gun. And blew it across the garage. And it ripped a hole in the sheetrock.
Wow.
Now, should I tell him that you'll be interested in the boot with the foot in it?
I'd probably be interested in everything.
You ever see how they make the dried up little shrunken heads?
Oh, God.
Yes, well, he's had this for many years. He praises it. All he does is bring it out in his drunken stupor in front of his friends. Can he call you or something to make arrangements?
Sure. If he doesn't, I'll give him a call tonight.
All right.
You can call me. I'll be home around 6 o'clock this evening.
Okay, Mr. Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah. Okay. I'll
bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Gotta love it, Ira. I'm so, I love that one. I had to pick that one.
I do too.
All right, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed that one. From now, we're going to go into Maggie's Moments. As you guys know, I'm a psychic medium, clairaudient, clairvoyant, empath, telepath, and I do some healing work. And for some of you have seen Ira and I together, or heard Ira and I together, rather, on interviews before, you know that there are occasions that I go out and do shows, fairs with, you know, other psychics. And, you know, it's usually a good time. Sometimes, you know, it's really busy. But I always have one story to take home from every show. And the one I want to share with you this time really touched my heart. I was sitting there, and a young girl came up to me, and she had three other people with her, also young adults. And she sat down, and she said that she wanted a reading. And she asked if the whole group could be there. And I said, you know, I'm sorry, we don't have time, and I really can't allow for the other four people to be read. I can do yours, but I have appointments. And she's like, no, I just want to be read. Can they all watch? And I said, unfortunately, because of the proximity of all four of you, I was feeling and picking up on all of their energies. So I explained to her that it would be okay to have one person sit with her, but the rest of the group needed to separate. And they were fine with that, you know. So she chose a young guy to sit with her. He was probably, I don't know, he was 17. He was 17 years old. And he sat next to her in the chair. He had a hat on backwards, you know, gold chain, the shorts that were hanging down, you know, with his butt crack showing, and he was all fly. And he's just sitting there kind of watching me. And as soon as I started to read her, I picked up on the boy, and I heard the boy's father calling out to me, please help my son. Please help my son. Please don't let my son take the wrong path. Please help my son. Over and over doing this girl's reading. So immediately I honed on this child, and I finished up with her reading. And actually during the course of her reading, I kept looking at him and telling him, your father loves you. Your father's here. And, you know, the child looked like he was going to lose it. But at the end of her reading, I focused in on him, and I said, look, your father wants you to know. I said, first of all, I said, I'm psychic. I can read your mind, and I know what you're thinking. I said, you can't hurt yourself. You can't do this to yourself. You've got to be strong. I know that it's been a very difficult time for you, but your father and your mother want you to know that they love you very much, and that you need to keep on the right path, and you need to stay strong. They're proud of you. They love you. But you cannot at all do what you've been considering. It's not worth it. They want you to be okay. So at that point, he verbalized to me that he had lost his mom 3 years ago and his dad back in January. And he had no place to go. He had an older brother. Turns out the girl that I read was the ex-girlfriend of the older brother. That's how they knew each other. The older brother is immersed in drugs, and this girl and the older brother had had a child together, and because of, you know, the problems with the drugs and the influence on her and her child, they separated. They were no longer together, but she maintained a close relationship with this young boy. And because of the fact that his mom and then his dad had passed, this child had no place to go. So he was forced to go live with his ex-girlfriend. You know, I mean, the kid's 17, his ex-girlfriend. The girl was with them. She looked like she was about maybe 15 years old. And that's how he's forced to live his life. I mean, he's there living with his ex-girlfriend's parents, you know. And, you know, at that age, you don't know what love is. You don't know what a serious relationship is typically. You know, it was probably like a 2-3 month fling, and then it was over. And here's this child in a home, you know, ripped from his dad, ripped from his mom. And I could definitely feel that he was ready to go. He wanted to hurt himself. And so I asked him, I says, you know, dad says you had some problems with school. And he says, yeah, well, you know, I didn't do something and the principal yelled at me for it and blamed me for it. And I told the principal, leave me alone. And the principal grabbed my arm and I told him to let me go and he wouldn't let me go. So I punched him in the face and they threw me out of school. And he said that I went to a different school. And he said, I don't know if they found out about that incident, but they kicked me out of that school too. They didn't want me there. So I just quit school. So we talked for a while. And, you know, I told him, your mom and dad want you to do well. They want you to finish your education. They want you to get your GED. They don't want you to follow your brother's path. And I talked about how proud I was of him and how much love I had for him for being so strong in the face of adversity and going through what he had been through at such a young age. And virtually all by himself. I mean, he had this girl who was a friend, and he had the ex-girlfriend's, you know, parents or whatever, but
family life, as he knew it, was pretty much, it was non-existent. So I said to him, I noticed he had something around his neck, and I said, well, can I see what you got around his neck? He goes, yeah, it was his father's high school ring and a cross, a big old cross. So he took it off, and I held the energy, and I gave him some more messages from his dad, private things. And I said to him, what's with the cross? Are you religious? And he says, yeah. He says, you know, I used to pray all the time, but I haven't really prayed too much since my dad died. And I says, I'll tell you something. If you come with me out to the car, I'll give you something. I said, but you have to promise to put it on this chain around your neck and wear it with your cross and your school ring. Would you do that with your dad's school ring? And he's like, yeah, sure. So, you know, typically as is me, anybody who does a fair with me knows I'm like all over the place. You know, I'm supposed to be sitting there doing readings and I'm up, you know, bringing a client to another vendor that's got a book that I think would help them, or to another person, you know, that will help them with spiritual healing or what have you, you know. So I just, we up and we walked out to the parking lot, and he came with me, and the other people went to the van or truck, whatever they were in. And I don't know, you know, I swear to you, I don't know. I'm like going through my bag that I keep in the car. It's a special bag that I have. And I'm like, why are you telling me to give this kid something out of this bag? What the heck am I going to give him? I had no idea what they were guiding me to. So I'm going through the bag and I pull out St. Benedict's cross. And St. Benedict is the patron saint of possession and of evil. You know, he gets rid of and helps with possession cases and cases of evil. And so there right away, it struck me, okay, this is what this is all about. It's because of the brother with the drug use and the involvement in the drugs and the criminal things that he's done. This is to protect him, to keep him from that evil aspect, to keep him from the drugs, to keep him from falling into that lifestyle. So I handed him the cross and I'm like, here, this is for you. And he kind of looked at me like, and he looked down at it. He looked at me like, why are you giving me this? You know, why? And he had tears in his eyes. And I said, look, just take it. Just, I want you to wear it. I want you to wear it with your dad's ring. And I want you to just stay on the path. You're doing a great job. And I gave him my phone number. I gave him a card of somebody that could help him with some therapy. I gave him a card of Father Billy, who you've heard me talk about 100 million times. And I said to him, look, you call me anytime you need anything, day or night. Before you hurt yourself, if you're thinking about it, you give me a call. And that was it. So that was my cool story. That was the latest fair that I just did a couple weeks ago. And, you know, it was a really good feeling to be able to help that child, because at the end of it, I knew that I had given him, through the energy that was coming through me, some faith, you know, some desire to carry on.
Yeah, a positive step forward.
He felt somebody cared about him, you know?
A positive step forward, that's for sure.
So now I have homework for all you guys. I have a segment that we do once a month called Happiness Homework. And it's really easy. It won't be anything too stressful, I promise you guys. But what I'd like to do is see everybody once a month do this assignment, and then maybe you could put your feedback on the wall. But I really want to see how you guys make out with these things, because I've tried all of these things myself. It's not something that I'm not asking you to do, or asking you to do rather, that I haven't. But the homework for this month would be, just go up to one stranger every single day. If you're in the workforce, every day you go to work. If you're home and a homemaker, or, you know, just you're unemployed right now, every time you go out of the house for a week, whether it be to the grocery store to get gas or to pick your kids up from school, compliment one stranger each day for 1 week. Total stranger. Just go up to them, give them a random compliment. Hey, I like your shoes, nice shirt, nice hair, whatever. And then carry that conversation as far as the circumstances allow. So if the person's close to you and looks at you like you're nuts, just, you know, smile at them and say, hey, have a good day. But if the person converses with you, carry on that conversation. You know, let's see how far you can go with it. I have had so many instances of where I have done this with people, whether it be in a supermarket or a gas station or wherever, where the children or the person that I've spoken to has actually started to cry, told me that they were having the most horrible day ever. I've changed their life. It's been an amazing experience for me, and I'm really anxious to see how you guys make out with it.
I've done it before myself, and I will say it's amazing what you see happen in somebody's life, even just that random moment in a day. You never know what kind of a difference you just made for that person. They could have been at that point in their life where they were going to go home and end it. You never know. But that exactly. one person that just comes along and says, hey, nice shirt, or hey, nice shoes, or hey, you know, I like your haircut. That's really cool. You know, whatever the case may be, and kind of just spark a little conversation just for even 30 seconds or so. You never know what kind of a difference you just made for that person.
And I've actually made new friends that way, too.
Absolutely.
So it's really cool. It develops a sense of community. It develops a sense of humanity. It's a really cool thing to try. So I'm going to ask you all to do that. And then, like I said, you can post on the website how you made out. But I know that it's going to make you feel better. It's going to make that person feel better. It's going to be a really cool thing all the way around.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
So then we go into a couple really cool things. I have Holistically Healthy. This week we have a healing herb that I'm going to talk about, chamomile. And Ira, I know you know a lot about chamomile.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a wonderful tea. I mean, just the benefits of it are amazing. If you're stressed, if you're studying, if you have a glass of tea, chamomile tea, before you go to bed, it will relax you. It will help you to sleep. It's just an amazing, amazing herb. And it's a really great herb and an easy herb to grow in your garden. A lot of us are starting our gardens up for the season. It's relatively inexpensive to buy. You can take the seeds and dry the heads off to make your own tea. You can make tinctures with it. It's really, really cool.
What's great is my wife is big with chamomile tea, and she she says it's better than a shot of whiskey to put you to sleep at night. She'll sit and drink her tea, and she'll be pretty much out within about 5 minutes. It's that quick with her.
Isn't it amazing?
It is. I like the flavor of it. It doesn't really do the relaxing thing for me personally, but I have a hard time relaxing, period, anyway. So I think I need a bigger jolt or something. But
well, especially with, you know, finals and school year, a lot of people are taking summer courses.
Yeah,
it's a really good relax. I mean, just if you're stressed in general, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, even for someone like me that doesn't get the restfulness from it, if nothing else, it at least helps to clear the mind a little bit and help you to think in straighter ways, I guess is kind of the best way to put it, because normally my thoughts can be a little jumbled. I have a lot of things that go on up there. And when I drink chamomile, or even if I eat one of the flowers or something, a dried flower or something, even something along those lines is enough to make my mind relax and focus a little bit.
Isn't it great?
It is. I love it.
Now, I have a recipe, too. We're going to do really cool recipes. It's going to be either a tincture or a food recipe or something that will help you in your daily lifestyle, you know, something holistic that can help you. And I have from the Coconut Mama, there's a recipe that Ira's going to post for you. And it's for homemade cough drops. I mean, a lot of people are having allergy season, cold season come upon them. It's actually three simple ingredients. It's very, very easy. And you can go ahead and look at that on the website and make your own homemade cough drops. I'm not able to grab the link to bring it up to read the ingredients. I don't know if you are. My computer's being a little wonky right now.
So yeah, on the website, the ingredients are raw honey, coconut oil, and cinnamon. And you want to use 1/2 cup of each, except for the cinnamon, which is 1 teaspoon of that. So pretty easy to make, really.
There you go. And Ira will post that on the website. So if you're having allergy problems, if you're having a head cold, it's a really, really simple recipe that'll make you feel better, and it tastes amazing.
I can imagine so.
I love my coconut oil. Then we go into the next segment that we have is Way Cool Affirmations. Now, affirmations are basically their sayings or quotes. It's something that you say throughout the day to raise your vibration, to help with your positivity, to help you maintain focus, things that will keep you on the path. The main reason that we did the show was so that we could spread some positivity and cheer and love in a world of negativity. And affirmations are a really cool way to do that. And they're easy. You can write them on a postcard and stick them on your refrigerator. You can just carry them with you in your car or as you're, you know, at work, read them throughout the day, whatever you prefer. But they really do work. And basically, it's just all it's about is changing your mindset and keeping your mindset in the positive and getting rid of the negativity. So the one that I chose for this week is happiness is a choice. I base my happiness on my own accomplishments and the blessings I've been given. And so that's your affirmation for the week. And Ira just informed me, because he's so cool,
We're going to be doing this show bi-monthly, the first and third of each month, airing at midnight. And stay at noon, and then throughout the course of the L&M schedule, he's going to stick us in there. And I'll have the links on my website as well. And I did have a Philippians quote I hadn't put in there that I'd like to share. That's pretty cool.
Okay, also, and let me do a repeat of that too, because you kind of cut off a little bit. So this is an every other week show. It'll be on the first and third Sundays of every month. And we will also replay them again at noon the next day. So midnight, Sundays, first and third Sundays of every month.
There you go. I found another one kind of by accident. It's actually one of my favorites. It's from Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, I think on and weigh and take account of these things. I fix my mind on them and not the opposite. And that actually is it's a healing scripture too. You can use that to make yourself feel better if you're not feeling well. So I thought that was really cool too. I just kind of threw that in there. And then the final segment of the evening, Things My Dad Says.
Indeed.
And, we're going to let Ira take it this time, and I'm going to take a turn next time. But these are going to be really cool stories and funny quotes from our parents, which we think are just amazing. And Ira, you can go ahead with that, Stanford and Son, anytime you're ready.
All righty. This is a little bit of history for me. It's actually one of the reasons why I got into doing what I do. I grew up with the words of Paul Harvey in my ears as my father listened to him in the garage on the old radio that he had. He'd be working on one car or another, or his newest project with wood. He'd build chairs for a friend or a cabinet for the old lady down the street. I'd watch his fingers that were really worn down from years of very, very hard labor and even harder living. And I would watch him as he would crochet an afghan to give away to a person down the street that needed it. He made them all the time, and he never charged a dime for any of them, no matter how much people begged to be able to pay him. Through all of this, my young mind was exposed to Paul Harvey and his deep words of wisdom, always telling us the rest of the story. What I do today can be attributed directly to those early years, with the love that I had for my father and his love of Paul Harvey. So just kind of a little history lesson of Ira and why he does what he does. It was inspired by my dad and the care and love that he had for this guy, Paul Harvey, who was the ultimate reporter, I think.
Very cool story. I love it. I love the stories of your dad anyway, because I've been able to connect with him and been able to validate with you things he said. He's a really funny guy. So
very
that's
interesting guy. Very interesting guy, to say the least.
So how do you want to close it up, buddy? Do you want to like share our information so people can get a hold of us, and then we'll call it a day?
Absolutely. Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and give yours, and then I'll give the long stream of the ones that I do.
Awesome. Thanks everybody for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Please join us again on the third Sunday of the month. And I have a Facebook page. If it's Maggie-Violet Nile. Build me this really cool website. It's maggiehart.com. At Skype, also, you can look me up under Maggie Hart. And that's it. I'm going to turn it over to you, Ira. Just so you know, I do a clairaudient, clairvoyant, a medium, an empath, things like that. But because we only have a limited time again on the show, it's going to be strictly the format that you've seen tonight. And so, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to take calls or anything, but please put your feedback on the webpage. We'll be happy to hear from you.
Absolutely. Yep. So you guys, I hope that you have enjoyed this show tonight. I know I have. I've really gotten a great time out of it. And I think that this is a really good thing to bring to the network for sure. If you guys want to get into contact with me, you can reach me at openeyesnetwork.com. That's where all of our information is at. Our podcasts are there. Our archives for all of our shows are there. You know, I'm the host of Open Eyes and Brothers at Arms, and co-host on sometimes on Duct Tape Nation, co-host of Money and Change. I'm everywhere, man. I'm just everywhere. you guys can get that all of that over at openeyesnetwork.com. And we're also on YouTube as well. So youtube.com/C/OpenEyesNetwork is where you can find all of our live cast archives there, because we're now simulcasting all of our live shows onto YouTube, so you guys can see us as we do our work and the silliness that sometimes goes on with us. We also put out news articles and that sort of thing there on YouTube as well. So if you guys want to get in contact with us, you can send us an email to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. Once again, Maggie is at maggiehart.com, as well as her Facebook and Skype information that she gave. You kind of cut out just a little bit there, so I wanted to make sure that the web address got out for everybody. So, Maggie, this has been great. Thank you so much for being here with me and for doing this with me.
Thanks, Ira. I've been looking forward to this, like we had talked about earlier, for months and months. I think it's something that will really be beneficial to people. It's great working with you again, and I'm looking forward to our next show in 2 weeks.
Me too, for sure. Everybody out there, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys stay tuned. There's going to be more shows coming up right here on L&M Radio Network, and hopefully you guys are having a great week. Have a great couple of weeks. We'll see you again on the third Sunday of the month, and I believe that's going to be the 19th of June. So we will see you guys then. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye, everybody.